Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Lucas Miles, and he is an author, a pastor, a film producer, a coach, and you are soon to launch the Lucas Miles Show. You are the senior pastor, so there they call you pastor, right, of the Oasis, or do they,
I am a pastor, but they usually just call me Lucas. We have a joke that if somebody calls me pastor, they're probably new. So, yeah, most of the time, just Lucas.
Yes, it is a new day and age, isn't it? It's a new generation. And so, anyway, he is the senior pastor of the Oasis Granger Community Church. He and his wife, you planted it.
Yeah, we started. It's actually our 13th year.
Yeah, so you started it with how many members?
Well, her and I. It was the two of us. Yeah.
You yourself.
Probably our cat.
Yes. And now how many members?
You know what? We have probably about 200 people that are in our
Fantastic.
Community right now. So, and then we have a pretty large online audience as well. So we have about 3,000 regular users on our church app and who listen to our podcasts and our Sunday morning messages and live stream with us and all those things. So we're growing. It's been exciting.
Technology is absolutely fabulous for that. He is also the president of the Oasis Network for Churches. This is a multifaceted church planting organization which serves churches in more than 10 countries. Lucas and Chrissy have been married since 2001, and they reside in Granger, Indiana, with their Doberman named Kenya.
Yes.
She's
a treat.
Yes, and our dogs are part of the family for sure. I have a whole sermon about, I know dogs are going to heaven. Anyway, well, I first would like to talk about, well, what would you like me to talk about first?
You know, first of all, Dr. Gamble, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me on. And, you know, I think it's awesome what you guys are doing and the reach that you have, you know, through this. So it's a real honor to be here. You know, I've been doing ministry now for, this is actually about my 20th year of preaching. I started preaching at about 17 years old, so I'll let the listeners do the math
and
on that
he
one.
He looks very young to me.
I appreciate that. And, you know, this book here that you have in your hand, Good God, that is really a culmination of a lot of that time. And so that released in 2016. It's called Good God, the one we want to believe in but are afraid to embrace. And that really has a lot of the other things I'm doing right now has been a spinoff of that book. It's created a trajectory for, you know, some of the films and the podcasts and the documentaries that we're producing. So it's just been a really exciting year, just kind of riding the trajectory that's created.
So let's talk about the book first, and then I want to talk about all these other projects. God has given you a lot of energy. I love the idea that you said that we don't embrace God.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we?
I think that a lot of people are hurt. You know, I actually just did a series here recently in our church on cynicism. And I think that, and I can relate to this because I'm a recovering cynic and I'm a recovering legalist, right?
A recovering cynic.
And you know, I think that because of life's experiences and because of the hurt that people have gone through, they have, they've distanced themselves from God because they see God as responsible for their pain. And that's really what I tackle in this book. I ran into somebody at Starbucks upstairs and he said, "Hey, I heard you got a book. What's it about?" And I said, I kind of said this with a smirk, but I said, I solved the problem of evil, you know, and I say that kind of jokingly, but I really believe that. I think that and it's not that I solved it, it's that scripture solves it. I just think the Lord helped me put it together in a way that people can understand that God is not causing nor allowing our pain. And it's a radical concept for a lot of people, even in the church. But man, the people, when they've read this, I've had them come. I had a guy who was 65 years old, who's been in the church his whole life, come back to me and said, "Lucas, this has completely changed my understanding of God." And he goes, "I wish I would have known this 40 years ago."
Yeah. So I know that my listeners want to read this. Where's the best place to get it?
So they can get it a lot of places. They can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You know, so you can just search on there for Good God, Lucas Miles, and you'll find it there. I used to say Family Christian Bookstore, but they just, you know, kind of sad news there about their stores. But I will push listeners to this. If they go to my website, they can go to Lucas Miles, LucasMiles.org/missing chapter. I'm doing this, releasing this just here at NRB, is that I have a chapter that is an additional chapter of the book that they can get for free. And
oh,
so it
neat.
Was through the publishing process, we decided that, you know what, let's pull one of these out. But it's got a lot of great things that aren't in the book, and it'd be a great companion read for free, and you can get that email to you. So that'd be a great place, too.
You know, so many people I've talked to say that the year 2016 was the roughest year, and it was rough for me, too. I actually lost 3 very close family members at different times throughout the year. But, you know, one to cancer, one to heart attack, one to something else, you know, accident, car accident, mm-hmm. whatever. And so a lot of my friends and other relatives are going, you know, how come God allowed this?
Yeah.
We really believe God is sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
How come he allowed this?
Yeah. You know, it's a great question. I think that's a question on a lot of people's minds. You know, it's interesting. The dictionary definition of the word sovereign, it means self-governing. And I believe that God is 100% self-governing. Nobody tells God what to do. Nobody dictates, you know, God's schedule for the day. He decides what he's going to do, what he's going to say, and all of those things. But I believe that also in that, we need to understand that God, because he is so great and so sovereign, he's big enough to actually govern himself. And what he's done is he's done that through his word. And so I believe that if we understand the faithfulness of God, we know that God will never violate his word or his promises to us. And God has promised in his word never to harm us. You know, even in the definition of, you know, God is love. And then we see Paul write in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is not self-seeking. You know, and I like to plug in there, God is not self-seeking.
Yes.
When you really understand that, what that means is that God will never bring harm to you in order to bring glory to himself. So I actually don't believe that God is causing the problems of our life or the pain of our life. And I don't believe he's even allowing it in the traditional sense either. And I have a whole chapter in the book on the book of Job where I did kind of a commentary within this. And it reads very, you know, you can give this to your mechanic, your plumber, your doctor, your pastor, and I think they'll all benefit from it. But there are some things that the Lord showed me in Job chapter 1 in the Hebrew of the language there that I pull out and I bring it down so that I think anybody can grab a hold of it that were life-changing for me in recognizing that God was not the source of the pain for Job, and consequently, he's not the source of our pain either.
So you write that there are 7 things God can't do.
Yeah. You know, for the sake of time, I won't go through each one of them, but for example, God will never violate his own word.
Okay.
You know, he will never, I mean, he's promised that in fact, there's a verse in Psalms that says that the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. And so, you know, people I talk about this in the intro to the book. When I was in college, I went to a secular school, but I developed a little bit of a reputation as a dorm floor pastor. Everybody knew I was a Christian. I started preaching at 17, so I'd been doing this for a while already. And, you know, I'd have my friends would come in, you know, been out at frat parties and drinking. And I just kind of looked out after people and just tried to bless them and help them and minister to them as I could. But I had one day where I had this, you know, really loud knock on my door, and I had a dorm room to myself. My roommate, he left after the first semester, so I must have ran him off. But this guy knocked on my door, and I opened the door to him, and I said, "Hey, what's going on?" I didn't know him very well. He lived on my floor, and he came in, he shut the door, and he goes, "Look, I need to talk to you." He goes, "I heard you're a Christian." I said, "Yeah, I am." And he goes, "When I was a kid," he goes, "I was 12 years old, I accidentally shot my sister in the eye with a hunting rifle. We were out in a field, and the gun went off," and he goes, "I killed her." And he goes, if God is good, why would he allow that to happen? And, you know, I say in the book that as I sat down and I began to talk to him, I have no idea what I told him. I mean, it's been, you know, over 20 years. I have no idea what I said. But what I know is this, is what I shared with him, although it was probably every theological bullet point you're supposed to say in that situation, none of it was helpful. And I think he walked away with as many questions as he had before he came in the room. And that was really something that jarred me. And I realized that you know, what sounds good in the church doesn't always sound good to people of the world. They're looking mm-hmm. for more. And it really sent me back to the word to dig up these things, to provide not just cliche answers for people, but real hearty answers and responses that people can get intimate with a God knowing that he's not the cause of their pain. And I think that good God does that.
So I'm trying to wrap my brain around a statement you made that God is not a convict.
Convict, yes. you know,
he's not a convent either.
Yeah, he's not a convent either. No, very two different things though. Either, and you don't want convicts at convents. That's bad. You know, I make the reference in the book that I think that according to some people's theology, you know, that we have there's a lot of when you see bad things happen in the world, people will say, "Well, God did this for His glory, or He allowed this for His glory," and you know, or God brought this upon this person in order for them to look to God to be the healer of it. And I say that, you know, if you really think about that and you put that in human terms, you know, it would be like a New York City police officer planning a bomb only to be the one to call it in and say, "Look, I found a bomb," and be the hero.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, that doesn't fly in humanity, and it shouldn't fly in our spirituality either. And I think we have a lot of religious kind of nonsense that's circulated. And I think that, you know, what I tried to do in Good God, I felt like God gave me a path to cut through a lot of that. And I kick over a few sacred cows in the book. And so, but, you know, there's been, I had one guy, he goes, this is either revolutionary or heretical. And he goes, "I'm still trying to figure it out," you know, but it's been a blessing to a lot of people. And I think it really will help people develop their intimacy with the Lord and just get them connected, knowing that God's not only the source of their pain, but He's also here in this, He's actively involved in our lives, trying to lead us down a path of peace.
Amen. Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk about your other projects.
Let's do it.
Right back. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. I'm here with Pastor Lucas Miles, who just goes by Lucas, which is a great name, by the way, isn't it?
Thank you very much.
It's like Luke. Author of Good God. He's also a film producer and a life coach. And I promised you that we would talk about his other projects. So let's start with, first of all, you're going to start a podcast.
Yeah, I have a new show that's launching called The Lucas Miles Show. I'm anticipating it's going to release in April, and I'm expecting to be able to share a little bit more on that here soon. But if people come out to the website, lucasmiles.org, they can kind of follow that. We have all sorts of exciting guests that are going to be launched on that. And it's really an intersection of faith, culture, entertainment. I as a pastor and also a film producer, and I'm in somebody that's in Hollywood about, you know, every other month or so. And, you know, work a little bit on with some political relationships too. And I've been able to have the privilege of just being around a lot of diverse people that are believers that have some really amazing stories. It's a long form interview format. So what that's going to do, it's going to allow us time to really not just hear what people are promoting, but really dig into their life. How did they get there? The stories behind that, the life lessons that have come out of that. And so it's going to be a great show to listen to while you're on the treadmill at the gym or, you know, whatever that is. But yeah, it'll be called The Lucas Miles Show. They can follow us on Twitter at The Lucas Miles Show, or go to lucasmiles.org for more information on that.
Okay, and then you also have a film coming out called Crowning Jewels.
Yeah, Crowning Jewels. So this is our second film that we've done at this level. Our first film, Rodeo Girl, starring Kevin Sorbo, who a lot of your audience might know from as the lead in Hercules in the 90s. And then he also was the lead in the film God's Not Dead, which dollar for dollar continues to be the highest grossing Christian movie, I think, yet. I did this film Rodeo Girl with Kevin Sorbo. That's on Netflix right now. So if you have Netflix, you can watch that there. And it's a great family film. You can watch it with kids and not have to worry about anything that's in there. Also, we have this new film that you mentioned, Crowning Jewels, and it's J-U-L-E-S, like the girl's name. And this film is about, it's another family-friendly film, and it's a sort of a teenage adventure comedy. So it's two twin sisters that are complete opposites. And the one is a beauty pageant contestant, and the other is kind of what I would call a nerdy hipster. And she is trying to get to Harvard for an admissions interview, but she doesn't want to tell her other sister because her sister's going to Michigan. And so they find themselves on a road trip across the country to a beauty pageant that's in Boston. And there's all sorts of mayhem that ensues along the way. It's a really cute film. It stars Christy Swanson, who was on the Christian film What If. She was also got a lot of her fame from Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And then also has Kevin Farley plays their dad, who is Chris Farley's brother. So a lot of fun, great cast. Kenton Duty's in it, who is a Disney kid, and it's written by a Disney writer. It's just it's a really, really great film.
Yeah, so when it says that you have a film coming out, yeah, what makes it your film?
So I'm actually the executive producer on the film. So I found the script, found the twins for it. And the twins have gone on, Jackie and Elizabeth Labadie, they've gone on, and they were on The Middle here recently. They had a Nickelodeon pilot, a couple other, they're up and coming. They're kind of the new Mary-Kate and Ashley, you know.
Okay.
But they're just wonderful human beings. But yeah, it's my film. So I have a film company called Miles Media Films. And so we do faith-based and family-friendly films and put those out there. So, you know, people always ask me, you know, okay, you're a pastor, you're a filmmaker, you're an author, you're a speaker, you coach entertainers. How do you do this all? And my answer is really three things. First of all, God's grace. You know, grace is God's ability. And I think it's not just a get out of jail free card. It actually empowers us to do more than we could ever do on our own. I get tired easy. You know, I'd want to take naps on the couch, but man, God's grace just keeps me going. I think also, you know, my wife is just a huge part of this, and we're a team, you know, and how we do these things. And then beyond that, we have a wonderful team of people that really have come alongside us, and they make us look good every single day. And they're just a blessing.
Now I try to think of, my congregation would embrace my pastor if he was a producer as well.
Yeah.
So what does your congregation
You know,
feel
they
about
kind of,
that?
They first of all, they put up with me so well.
I mean, are you in is your congregation?
No, I'm actually based in the Midwest. I'm in South Bend, Indiana. So
Indiana.
I fly to Hollywood about every other month. I always say I leverage my Midwest cost of living with my LA connections. And so, you know, I travel quite a bit. I actually miss very few Sundays. But I travel a lot during the week. And so I have a wonderful team of staff and volunteer staff that really help us run things. And we run not just the local church, but our network as well. We take people on mission trips all around the world and different experiences. So I'm a bit of maybe a little bit of a Renaissance man in that way that I wear a few different hats. But, you know, it's really the team and, you know, the Lord's grace that makes us look good in that.
Yeah. So where did you learn your expertise for all of these different roles that you do?
You know, I'm kind of back in the day, I was a library card guy. I mean, I went to school, I was a philosophy and religious studies major, and, you know, I have a degree and all of those things. But I probably learned best just getting involved in things. And my motto is always, how hard can it be? So about 10 years ago, I started managing. We had a girl that showed up at our church that was on American Idol, Joanna Beasley. She's still doing music today, a wonderful artist. And I managed her for a few years. And I was actually started as her pastor, and her husband, you know, and her came to us, and we met with them for a while. And after about 6 months, she's like, I think you're my manager and you don't know it. So I kind of jumped in, and we did the music business thing for a while.
Now you're a manager too. You didn't mention
that.
Well,
I don't still do that, but that kind of got me into film production because we started doing music videos. And so I had a producer that I had reached out to. I said, hey, if you need anything, you know, ever let me know. And he said, well, have you ever produced anything before? I said, well, I've done music videos before. He goes, well, I need you then. And so I jumped in. I did my first film and ended up kind of breaking out on my own after that. And it's just, you know, snowballed one thing into another. And God's just really just elevated us through this. But a lot of this has come from the success of Good God. It's just been such an influential book in people's lives. Kevin Sorbo backed the book and endorsed it. And so that really helped get the word out and create some of these next steps for us.
So what would you say to that aspiring young Christian, mm-hmm, filmmaker, start there.
Find a mentor. First thing, find a mentor. Find somebody that has integrity, who's honest, who is looking for ways to use their artistic giftings to further the kingdom. and learn from them. Ask questions. Don't just because you might be know more about technology than you might probably don't know enough about life, you know, as much as they do. If you have the right mentor, so find somebody who you can learn from every step of the way. And I've been really blessed to have some wonderful mentors to learn from and who have just taken me under their wing. And I still, you know, at 37 years old, I'm still actively working with mentors, looking for new mentors in multifaceted areas of life.
And then the pastoring. Did you have a mentor for that?
I sure did. Yeah, multiple. So there's a guy named Jeff Gritton who was my who was the associate pastor of the church when I was growing up, and he took me under his wing at a very young age, and just you know, he wasn't afraid to give me the microphone and just push me in there. And you know, like I said, I started preaching at 17, and we didn't have a youth pastor at my church. The church about 500 people, and I in a lot of situations, I just kind of became the you know, as
by
Paul
default.
Would say, the first among equals, you know, in that sense, and just leading people. And so, I've just been, you know, really blessed to have some wonderful pastors all around, you know, the country now that have spoken into our ministry and that I continue to go to for support and ask questions and walk through life with.
And then the podcast show. I mean, that could be that a podcast is just like what we're doing here in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah. It could air on radio. It could air on, you know, on somebody's phone, you know, whatever that looks like. But it's a streaming platform for that. And so for the podcast, I've been doing a podcast for years now through our local church has an app called the Oasis Network for Churches. So if people want to hear maybe some of our Sunday morning messages and those things, they can go there and download it for free. They can watch live, you know, of our services. There's people all the time that after they'll read Good God, they'll say, you know, I can't find a church near me that is teaching some of these things. And so they'll kind of become part of our online community. But, you know, so we've been doing podcasting for a bit, but this show is going to be, the Lucas Miles show is going to be a little bit more interview-based and casual. And so there's still be some elements of teaching that I'm sure will come out of it. But it's a little bit different model than just my Sunday morning messages.
And then I guess we're just about out of time, but How did you become an author? You have mentors in being an author.
You know, it's actually a pretty wild story, and I'm sure we don't have time to get into all of it. But I this book took me about 13 years to write, and a large part of that was studying and trying to, you know, as I said earlier, really solve some of these problems that I see. There's all sorts of scriptures that people just don't know how to take. They don't know how to deal with. And so they either start crossing them out of their Bible going, well, we just need to not worry about that, you know, or they come out with some really bizarre theology about it that kind of contradicts the nature of God. Mm-hmm. And I really felt like the Bible doesn't contradict itself. We just need to understand it and unpack it. And so I dove in. And during that time, I was able to meet just an agent that I've been just incredibly fortunate to work with. Met him through a relationship that I had in the music business through a Capital Christian and with a guy there that I had that was kind of just somebody I looked up to that made this connection for me. And man, it just started moving really fast after that. So what took 13 years to build, once those connections happen, you know, God just put it all together and just really released it. I was believing for a national release for this book, and you know, and God really opened up the door for that.
Well, we've come to the end of our show. We've been talking to Lucas Miles, author of Good God. And then in small print, it says, the one we want to believe in but are afraid to embrace. He is also a film producer, life coach, pastor, and will soon be launching his podcast called The Lucas Miles Show. And you can go to his website, Lucas Miles.
LucasMiles.org. Yep. And if they want that missing chapter, LucasMiles.org/missing chapter.
Yes, yes. Be sure and get it. Well, we have one last thing to say. And that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.